What's good, y'all? This is Breeze Brewing from the Mighty Juggernauts. And make sure you subscribe and download the podcast, Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. Hip-hop journalism on the highest level.
Yeah, what's up? It's your boy Joel Ortiz, and I want everybody to make sure that they subscribe and download the podcast, Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. Yo, Tim, I hope all is well. You my guy. I know these interviews are not interviews. They're actually conversations, and I appreciate them all. Yawa.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ice-T. I want you to do something for me. Make sure you download and subscribe Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. It is official. All right? Stop playing. Download and subscribe. Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. It's cold.
On October 8th, Rakim, Kumo D, P-Rock, Nice and Smooth, and DJ Kid Capri will be inducted into the Hip Hop Museum of DC. So there's really no need for me to go through what makes my next guest great. Smooth B, welcome to AllHipHop.com, presents the Library with Tim Einenkel. Thank you so much for being here. It's an honor.
Oh, man, absolutely. My pleasure, brother. Yes.
Out of my bed about 8. And then I called Greg Nice cause it wasn't too late to get some skins and come around the block. Cause man, my tip is harder than a rock. He said bet, so I let Greg Nice call this girl named Anna Zett. Anna Zett, the teacher's pet.
So if you think about it, all these rap lists with the quote unquote best rappers, rarely see Nice and Smooth on these lists. But then you guys have classic albums, classic singles, hits up the wazoo, hip-hop quotables, yes, et cetera, et cetera. On October 8th, yeah, Rakim, Kumo D, Pete Rock, Nice and Smooth, DJ Kid Capri will be inducted into the Hip-Hop Museum of DC. What does this induction mean for you and also to be a part of this class of inductees?
Oh, man, you know, it's a beautiful thing, you know, because, you know, first of all, it's a long time coming, you know what I mean? Like you said, a lot of people, you know, well, whatever, for whatever reasons, I don't know, you know, they don't mention Nice and Smooth, you know. And the deep part about it is, not only are we, you know, yes, pioneers and all of that, but we laid down a certain formula of mixing singing and rapping that was unprecedented, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because they say they serve no fine wine before it's time. So now as we see music, if you don't have, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, I used to get so much flack, man, for singing, mixing singing and rapping, because back then they didn't want the two genres to mix, you know. Right. But now if you don't have a singing melody, you don't have a hit song. So, yeah, it's so crazy. So it's an honor to be honored in this day and time. It's also an honor to be honored amongst my peers, you know, Rakim, Kid Capri, Pete Rock, Kumo D. We all have backstories, you know what I'm saying? And so it's a real good thing, man. And timely enough, it's like I released some new material and it's flying through the roof, man, being well received. And I'm just doing what I do, singing and rapping. And yeah, just went platinum. So it's a beautiful thing. But go ahead. Yeah.
No, and I want to ask you about the nominees that the inductees that you're going in with, you know, and kind of if you could briefly talk about the impact each of these artists have had on your life. So if I could start with Rakim, what has he meant for you in your career?
Yo, listen, man, shout out to Rakim, man. I love Rakim. That's my brother. And it just felt so good when the first time I heard Rakim, you know, I met Rakim early on in his career, but I met Eric B. first. And I met Eric B. back in 1986 when I was writing for Bobby Brown. You know, that's how I got into the music industry, writing for Bobby. And so I met Eric and he was telling me, man, and he heard me rhyme and he was like, yo, you kind of remind me, because I was putting like knowledge and, you know, mathematics into the rhymes. And he was saying, you remind me of this. He said, you be on that Peace Guard thing, man. You remind me of this, of my rapper. And I said, yeah. He said, his name is Rakim. And then the next thing you know, boy, woo. And so when I, it was, you know, ironic that, Man, I could go on all day, so I'm not even going to start telling you backstories. But the thing is, yes, it's an honor. And Rakim is my brother, man. I love Rob, man. And we got some great stories, man. But I got to talk. Can I talk about Kumo D?
What, of course, yeah. Kumo D next. Of course, please do.
Ooh, you got to understand, man. Kumo D, hands down, is one of the most prolific rhyme stylist. Y'all guys got to understand something. And now we're in the age of YouTube and all that. They should have some of the old Treacherous 3, you know, shows and routines and all that. Mo D is a lyrical monster. And we all came up under Cool Mo D. Me, Rakim, everybody came up under Cool Mo D because Cool Mo D and the Treacherous 3 predate all of us. Mm-hmm. And so he had that awesome vocabulary. And he also inspired me to use, to like really get into wordplay. I was, I always loved to read, you know, avid reader to this day. And when I would hear him say those different, you know, those different words, vernacular phrases, I was like, yeah, yeah. So he laid a great blueprint that inspired.
I want to ask you about, I'm going to ask you about the other inductees, but I think what's important to highlight is that you just said you, Kumo D inspired a lot of you, right? But I think the important thing, also the important thing to highlight is that you did not copy his style, right? You came up with your totally different style. What was the importance at the time for you to kind of create your own style, and how did you come up with the, you know, being comfortable, I guess, with the singing and the rapping part of it?
Oh man, let me tell. Okay, great question. First and foremost, it was a mandate. It was like the rule of thumb. Originality was the rule of thumb. You, if your name sounds too close to somebody's name, you got booed. Originality was key. So if your name sounds too close to another rapper's name, that was a battle, you know. It just was like that. You know, you had to be original or you just got booed off the stage, man. And that's the era I come up in. And so you had to, that's what made it interesting. Because once you found someone that inspired you, it was your job to sit down, you know, show respect to that person with the lyrical flow and what have you, and then make up your own, come up with your own. And I developed into Smooth B. Like growing up, you know, I was D-Ski, you know, you fiddle around. It's like D-Ski and D-La Rock and, you know, just different names, you know, because my name is Daryl Barnes. So I ended up being Smooth B. B being for Barnes. So I just developed into Smooth B, you know what I'm saying? As time went on, by the time I got in high school, my voice started to mature more and I started to become even more. I just became smooth, man. I was a smooth dude. And my boys used to be like, one of my boys, shout out to Garfield Bailey, wherever you are, kid. He's the one that told me I should call myself Smooth. You know, he's like, yo, you a smooth dude, man. You should call yourself Smooth. And I was like, yeah. That's
Smooth,
and singing and rap. Okay, go ahead. Singing and rap was always a passion. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, no. I wanted to ask you about the other inductees as well. I mean, because you know, we just named two lyricists, right? But then let's talk about the DJ part of it. I mean, so Pete Rock, and then if you go into DJ Kid Capri, kind of if you could talk about quickly what impact have those guys have on you as an artist and as, you know, as a person.
Exactly. Okay. I saved Kid Capri for last.
Okay, so sounds good.
Yeah, man. So Pete, man, first of all, I love Pete Rock, man. Shout out to Pete, man. Genuine brother, very humble, one of the best producers, hands down, that ever made a beat. You know what I'm saying? And Pete just was always a fly dude. He was always cool, you know? And that's another thing about originality. Like, it's to a point where Pete could make something that you didn't know was Pete. He'll surprise you. But you know that groove when you hear it. Or if you don't know off top, somebody go, yo, this is a Pete Rock joint. You'd be like, that's a Pete Rock joint. And there were a lot of producers, you know, that came out before Pete or beat makers, whatever. But Pete clearly, you know, stands out. And so, yeah, shout out to Pete, man. And it was funny because I met Pete before. It's funny how I meet the DJs or the producers before I meet the actual MCs. And I met him before they came out. He was like, yo, check this out. It was smooth because he's, you know, we have the same age bracket. So he knows what that originality means. And he was like, yo, smooth. I got an MC. His name is CL Smooth, man. You know, we coming, man. I was like, a word? I said, so I'm knowing Pete is dope. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm the first smooth ever in the rap game. You know, there was never a smooth before me. That's a fact. You know, do the history. So that's why I said smooth originator. So long story short, he came up to me. He was like, yo, I got an MC, man. And his name is CL Smooth. And I said, is he smooth? He said, yeah. I said, that's all that matters. I said, long as he's dope. If he got the name smooth, he got to be dope. And shout out to CL too. You know, I said, dope. CL Smooth is dopeness. Yeah.
And next, Kid Capri.
Oh man, Kid Capri. Shout out to Kid Capri, man. You know, I saw Kid Capri come a long way, man. I saw Kid Capri make his bones, you know. Kid Capri was one of the first cats, like, if I won't say the first, I mean, cats was making mixtapes and all that, Brucey B and them, but Kid, his mixtape game was crazy. And I used to see Kid Capri on 145th Street and 8th Avenue in front of Willie Burgers, you know what I'm saying, selling his tapes, you know what I'm saying? And it's like the inspiration that, you know, he has, you know, the inspiration that he gives me is just thorough, man. Being from the Bronx, keeping it 100, you know, and it was funny. Greg and I think, well, Greg knew him before me, but we was on 45th. You know, everybody knew the name. His name was buzzing, the Kid Capri. He was like, yo, there go Kid Capri. I was like, word. So we walked up on him. We started talking to him and everything. And he was like, yo, that new joint, Skill Trade, y'all got his fire. I put it on my tape. And so I'm sitting there and I'm going, like, I, you know, all of the mixtape thing, that was all new to me. You know what I'm saying? So I go, word, you know what I'm saying? Like, and back then you was trying to make your bread. So my first, I just, you know, I'm about my paper, man. I come from that. You know what I'm saying? Like, hold on, wait, where I cut? Yeah. But I realized, you know, I was like, no, this is dope. This promotion, he's playing our music. People are not even, he's going to help people hear us. Right. It was beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he's one of the dopest DJs ever. You ever seen a kid set? You know what I'm talking about. Right. He's like an extraterrestrial. Yeah.
And lastly, I want to ask you about, for inductee-wise, I cannot not ask you about your counterpart, Greg Nice. I mean, if you think about, like, he obviously had many impacts on your career, but, like, the kind of most significant for you in terms of an artist and as a person.
Wow. Man, so many impacts, you know, Greg and I, man, you know, we started from the mud, man, you know what I'm saying? And we have so many different experiences. But what I will say, I would have to say Greg Nice's unpredictability. That dude is unpredictable. Okay? So it's like 1 minute, Greg, he's an interesting dude. He'll like, today he might be saying, hey, man, I'm just saying hypothetically. He might say, yo, man, today I love pizza with onion and I love margarita pizza, right? A week later, I hate margarita pizza. And you'd be like, wait a minute, hold up. I thought you said you love margarita. Nah, I ate too much of it. You know what I'm saying? Type. So he that type of person with life. So it's been times where we kick it, we be together, thick as thieves, and then I won't see him. You know, he doing him, I'm doing me. And then all of a sudden, he'll pop up right on time. Like, it's just weird to try to explain. Like, we enter in and out of each other's lives right on time, all the time. So it's just, yeah, it's that type of thing.
I want to turn this
for instance.
Right. I want to turn to the beginning of your journey within hip hop culture, and kind of, you know, you grew up in the Bronx around 165th.
Yes.
Take me back to being an 11-year-old and seeing your first Grandmaster Flash jam at Taft Schoolyard, and what that meant for you as an 11-year-old kid seeing this thing happen.
Man, let me tell you something, man. It's like, it was electrifying. It was electrifying. You know, try to imagine that. I didn't even know what I was about to embark upon. And one of my friends, you know, just brought me to the jam. He was a few years older than me, so I was like 11. He was like 13, 14. His name was Tony Hines. And he brought me to the jam. He said to me, "You want to come with me to the jam?" And I'm like, "What's the jam?" And he said, "They're playing music outside, man. And it's going to be girls. It's going to be fun." And I was like, "Okay." And I go with him. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I go with him. And we get there. And all I can remember is when we got there, Grandmaster Flash, at the time was DJ Flash, he was on the turntables. And all I can remember at that time, like my first sight of Grandmaster Flash was his Kango. And he had a black Kango on, and it was summertime, so he had a nylon on. You know, nylon is like what we call wife beaters. You know what I'm saying? You know, the like sleeveless joint. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it's made of nylon. So he had the nylon on, and he was cutting up this song called Apache by the original Bongo Band. And it's like, so I'm like, what in the world? And then these little guys out of nowhere started b-boying. Now, you got to imagine. I'm just walking into this. So I see these cats dancing and they're all on the floor and they go down on the floor and they're doing these moves. So I said to my boy, I said, "Yo, Tony, what are they doing?" He said, "Yo, they b-boying. Yo, D, they b-boying." And then he got on the floor and started b-boying. I was like, "You know how to do that?" You know, and so it just was like, it was bananas. And then Kool Herc shows up. It was a whole nother level. And all I could remember, honestly, in my mind was saying to myself, these dudes are grown men. Like I was, you know, they look like giants to me in all reality. And Herc was swole. He was diesel. I was like, "Yo, this dude got muscles, man." You know, I was just bugging up 11-year-old kid. I'm like, "This dude got muscles, you know." And they just started playing music. And it was deep because that's the first time I had broke my curfew. So I had an 8 o'clock curfew, and I got home about quarter to 11, and my mom's wore my tail out, homie. She whipped me out, Jack. So I got my first whooping for hip-hop at 11.
So what made you go back? I feel like that's probably discouraged enough, right? But, like, what makes you go back?
I told you it was electrifying. I couldn't escape. That was the birth of the hip hop junkie, homie. Like, I was like, "I can't wait to go back. Yo, you know, I just got to watch my timing." And I just was like, Mom, I would tell her, like, I'd be pleading with her. I was like, "They're going to be jamming, Mom. You got to understand, like, could I just go listen to the music, you know, and, you know, come on, man." And she was like, "Yeah, all right. As long as you with somebody," because, you know, the hood was crazy back then, you know, like, you know, the Bronx was more like, in the 70s, the Bronx was like kind of like Beirut. It was a lot of abandoned buildings, a lot going on, you know what I'm saying? And Mom's just like, "Well, as long as you with somebody, you know." And as time things, you know, then I started sneaking to the actual clubs, to the jams. Man.
My understanding is that you were drawn to breaking, right? And then early on, and then mid-teens, you kind of started changing to rapping.
Yes.
Why? What drew you to the MC part of hip-hop culture over getting away from breaking?
Oh, no, listen, man. Let me tell you something. The MCs had all the girls. Huh? I'm going to say that again. The girls! Yo, let me tell you something. The MCs had so much swag, and it was just like, and I was always that type of cat. I never was stage fright. You know, I jump up on the stage, man. That was me. Give me the mic. You know, that was me. And so when I saw, and they the first MCs I saw, and they was like, beat y'all to the beat, y'all. And the way they was going into it, and they used to dress nice and look slick. And you know, I had older brothers that hustled. You know, they were in the streets and everything. So they used to keep me fresh. They used to keep me with fresh clothes. So I said, well, look, I can look the part. I just got to get this rapping thing together. You know what I'm saying? So one of the first, and this is amazing, because he's actually going to be there. My brother Busy B, man. And Busy B was the first rapper, quote unquote, legend, pioneer. But at the time, he was the first rapper that I actually ever met. And he came to my neighborhood because one of my cousins knew him. Shout out to Lamont Clark, LC. So my cousin knew him and they went to school together and everything. So he was like, I know Busy B. And I was like, what? And so you got to understand, Busy was already famous from doing shows and clubs all throughout the hood, you know, in the different communities in the Bronx. But Wild Style had just came out. That's the first hip hop movie. So when Wild Style came out, Busy B was a star. He was certified a star, you know, in all of our eyes. You know, we could go to the movie theater and watch the guys that we've been seeing in the park, man. That was just phenomenal. And one day he came in my neighborhood and he, it was this girl. Woo, I ain't gonna put her name out there, but yeah, everybody wanted to get at her. And she was something. And the thing was, she bugged out. And so when she saw me talking with my cousin and talking to Busy B, she said, D, come here. She's like, you know him? You know Busy B? I was like, yeah, I know Busy B, you know? So she was like, I want to meet him. I'm like, yeah, you know, so I'm like 13. Yeah, I know Busy B, you know what I'm saying? So she was like, introduce me to him. I said, all right, hold on. I said, you're busy, man. This girl over here want to meet you and all that. So he looked, he was like, whoa. She had the serious body. He was just like, yes. He said, yeah, little man. So he went over there and he bagged her. And then about a week later, I seen him coming out of my building. I was like, oh, you know. But so one day I ran up on him and I said, you busy, man. You know, I want to be an MC. And he said, yeah, let me hear what you got. And at that time I was D-Ski. So I started rapping for him and all of that. And he said, okay. I had about 2 or 3 rhymes, you know. Right. So I said a couple of my raps for him. And he was like, yeah, okay. He said, now listen. You got to say rhymes. You got to say like Mercedes. You got to say like cars and talk about like champagne in your raps. That's what they like. I said, yeah. And then I kept on scrabbing. And then next, you know, as I grew older, I put Mercedes and all of that in my raps. He does. Yeah. I'm going to make it real funky for you.
Smooth beat, notorious. Glorious. Knowledge is infinite. I live in a fortress. I'm so astronomical. Yet on a physical plane, my body's just a shell and control is my brain. I strain to gain spirituality so I can finally be in unity.